Hello and welcome to the Media Bowl podcast, whether you're recording from, well, I have an iPad, but if it's your phone, big cameras, whatever, it's your first time or your 100th time, we've got tactical tips, tools, and advice, and great guests like our guest today, Sam Lee, who's been trailblazing the Wisconsin travel sector and now is doing some other work. So we're a pleasure to have you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a legit operation. Yeah, so
we go big for guests like yourself. So I want to start just diving into your background. I saw that you were a double major in college. First off, kudos. I didn't even finish my own film degree, so I give you credit for that. What led you down that path specifically?
Well, going to college, I was a little unsure what I wanted to do. I think like marketing was one of the areas that I always had an interest in. And so eventually, like as I was going through college, I ended up taking a degree in communication arts. And that's where I took my first film class at UW. And I think I really fell in love with like being able to pick up a camera, craft my own story, even though it was a bad story at the time. Like my student work was terrible. It was still like really fun to be able to do all that stuff and collaborate with other people and have a finished product at the end of it. So that was kind of where I got my start within video. And then my other degree that I had was strategic communications, which is like creative advertising. So going into college and throughout college, I kind of thought I might want to work in an advertising agency. Mm-hmm. And then I interned at a few and chatted with some of the employees and realized it probably wasn't the right path for me. And pretty much decided that like video and photo were probably the areas that I kind of wanted to explore more.
Was that something that you kind of knew very early on, was like, this is the path I want to pursue long term for me? Like, is that a career thing? Because I mean, you were smart in the fact that like marketing can be a million and one things. And, you know, you're kind of like, all right, once I'm out, maybe I figure it out. Maybe if, you know, in your case, you figured it out while you were going to school. Is that kind of, what would you attest that to?
Yeah, I think like I tried a bunch of different things. I tried just like straight business classes. I tried, you know, straight marketing classes, and none of them really clicked in my mind as much as video and photo did. And so it was probably like my sophomore year where it really was like, oh, this is like probably something I want to do after college. And so I bought my own gear and started shooting, you know, really basic small business stuff or like wedding stuff, just to dip my toes in the water. And that kind of solidified the thought in my mind that this was probably something I wanted to do.
I'm sure I'll jump around this topic a few times in this conversation, but what is the, I mean, you have so much experience out in Madison, but you also do dip your toes a lot in the Milwaukee area. What would you say is a big difference, especially like for up and coming video artists or artists in really any category between the two?
Well, Madison is way better. I'm just kidding. No. So like, honestly, like Madison is great. I love, like I went to school there. It's where I've kind of stayed for a while. And like, I've loved the city feel without it being mm-hmm. like a city, like Milwaukee. I think when you think about Milwaukee, it's definitely, there's more happening in terms of arts, lifestyle stuff. Like, I feel like you look around and you see such a, like a larger pool of artists, in Milwaukee, which is why I always want to come over here, why I'm doing stuff like this podcast. It's like, I want to be able to connect with people in this community because there's a lot going on. And sometimes it feels a little separated from Madison, even though we're only in like an hour 15 away. Yeah. And so I would say the main differences are just like Milwaukee being a little bit of a larger city. Like there's, you could definitely feel that vibe with the creative that comes out of here.
Yeah. And do you notice, I guess like, it's tough. So I live like half an hour north of the city, so I have to kind of like come down and around.
Yeah.
But like, you know, around Madison, obviously you travel all over the place, but Madison has, do you think so in your mind, more kind of variety and things to do? Like you have Devil's Lake out there. You have obviously, you know, the Capitol building. Like there is that city. There is that rural. There is that, you know, outside. Do you feel like there's a difference there?
Definitely a difference. I think you talk about like, I mean, even, you know, Madison's location to like the Driftless region mm-hmm. of Wisconsin is, when we talk about that, we're only like an hour from Baraboo and a lot of those beautiful places along like the Mississippi River. So I think Madison is really well situated and it's on, you know, two lakes. It really lends itself to really beautiful like city landscape photography or videography. And then Milwaukee, again, like you have Lake Michigan. It's beautiful here. And then all along the coast here, it's like, honestly, you get different surprises, you know, different parts of the year, different locations. It's like, it's beautiful in its own way. So yeah, very different, I would say.
Awesome. You are, to me, an Instagram trailblazer. You've kind of, I mean, I was scrolling back last night. I'm like, the beautiful thing about your work, which I struggle with personally, is the idea was consistent, the brand was consistent, the colors were consistent. How important is it to kind of create that brand for yourself, and what got you into kind of where you stuck?
Yeah, I would say social media has been like a huge part in my career, and making sure that I had a brand or like some sort of consistency in my social media profiles across platforms has been super important to me. It's like people, I think the point of any, you know, any post on social media is to get eyes on your work. And so making sure that people knew like what I look like, what I sounded like, how I worked, what my work looked like was super important to me, you know, throughout, definitely like the pandemic years where client work was slow. I was like, okay, maybe I focus on social media a little bit. And so, yeah, it's been absolutely a game changer for me in terms of, I would say, like acquiring work, getting eyes on my work, and being able to network with all different types of people just outside of my direct community.
I noticed a few years ago you had the opportunity to kind of collab with Samsung. I believe it was. I forget exactly what.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was. But, you know, how did that come about? Was it from your social media? Did you reach out to them? Did they reach out to you? How did that all come together?
Yeah, so definitely, that was probably like three years ago during the pandemic. Yeah, so Samsung reached out with like, they just had an influencer campaign to capture, you know, photo and video with their new phone. I don't even remember what the name of the phone is. I use an iPhone. I'll be honest. Like, it was all because they were giving me a little.
Tweeting about Android phones, and then on the bottom, sent from iPhone.
I needed that paycheck. It was the pandemic. You know, can't blame me. But yeah, like they reached out to me, and that was like a really cool opportunity to be able to do, I guess, quote unquote, influencer work like that. That kind of, you know, related to photo and video in a way. I think throughout the years, I've been able to do a lot of work like that, like Visit Milwaukee. I did stuff with them as an influencer. And then I eventually pitched to them the idea of like, hey, why don't we make actual videos that I can be proud of? And that can be our next like influencer campaign that we work on together. And so, 2 years ago, I was able to do, two videos with Visit Milwaukee to kind of showcase different parts of the city. And so that was a really cool opportunity. I think now as I've been growing and getting more into, I would say, the traditional video production space, that's something I'm definitely exploring less of or turning down even. But it's been really cool to have that kind of duality of influencer like content, but also that more serious video production content.
And talk to me about that, because I think it's a very interesting point, because you know, you understand both sides. So in a previous business that I owned, it was really projected on the fact of like, we're doing influencer content, but we're also the influencers, and there are pros and cons to that methodology. But I think the way you're going about things now is you understand what works and where that, you know, end product, how it's going to look, why it's going to work. Talk to me a little bit about kind of like that crossover between being the influencer and now being the director.
Yeah, I think there's good points in what you just said. I think knowing like the point of an influencer is making content mostly to just like hook an audience and capture an audience's attention and then tell them about something. And the point of video production necessarily isn't always that. There's unglamorous sides of it where you're filming just a boring corporate video, whatever. So I think having experience in both has been really cool, because it's like, okay, I think I kind of know, I kind of understand maybe what the trends are or what people want to watch or a way to hook an audience right away. And that can translate really well into traditional video production, especially when you're making something like a creative ad. It's like, okay, how do we make this exciting for people to watch, but also inform them about our product in a non-salesy way, a non like overt way where they think, oh, I am watching an ad. Why am I watching an ad?
And I think it's important too, and something that I love about your work is your drone work always contributes to the story. And I think like we had on Cody from US Aero, who's also a drone pilot, And, you know, the one thing that I kind of talked to him about was the way we kind of get pigeonholed into drone work is it's the intro shot to establish and it's the outro shot to send you off. How do you kind of add it into the story? Because, I mean, I don't, do you do also the FPV work in your project?
I don't do FPV.
Because there was, I want to say it was Madison, where we kind of went over and like the camera inverted over the top of the building. And I was like,
yeah, yeah,
that's sick, because it's introducing that bit to the story without it just being like, hey, we're here.
Yeah, I think drones are one of the simplest things for people to get into, which is why I think it's easy to get pigeonholed by other people into a certain thing. It's like, oh, that guy flies a drone, whatever. I think for me, especially in the past couple of years, it's been thinking about how to make those shots more complex. So with this, you know, Destination Madison piece, it's been a lot more dual op inspire, where I've been, you know, we have one person operating the camera, one person operating the drone, and we're able to do these more complex helicopter-esque shots because two people are working together, which takes it that step above, you know, a Mavic or, you know, a traditional drone in that sense. With FPV, that's something I've always kind of been interested in, especially within the past few years. It's like, you know, even when it was more niche, like, you know, 6-7 years ago, I would always be like, oh my God, this looks so cool. And so when I had the opportunity to meet FPV pilots in the area and be able to work with them, it's been really fun to like think of novel ways to showcase the space. You talk about the Madison video that, the teaser I just released, and having, the pilot Logan, flip over the statue of the Capitol. Like, that was something we were kind of thinking, like, what's like a novel way we can showcase this building that has been seen almost by everybody in the state? How can we make it new and fresh? And so there's another video, another clip that we filmed where it was like a long runner kind of around the Capitol, and we have, you know, people walking and then bikers as well as we segue onto State Street. So it's just thinking of new ways to kind of use this very familiar technology that I've been really excited to do.
For my own curiosity, just because I've never been out to Madison with the drone, what's the clearance like around the Capitol building? Is that kind of a pain in the neck to work around?
It's actually not. The Capitol is, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think the Capitol lawn is like a state park or has like state park airspace.
I think so
you can't take off or land on the actual lawn, but as soon as you step off of it, so if you're on the next block, mm-hmm. like you can take off your drone as long as you, you know, you get authorization and stuff. So it's surprisingly easy. You would think people would follow the rules more and understand that it's not that hard to fly around the Capitol, but there is a lot of ways to break the rules as well. And yeah, I would say the Capitol lawn is where you get the most grief from anybody.
Yeah, that I definitely believe. Have you had any close calls with anything around that area of like, you know, you're there at a day that somebody's visiting or there's some important event going on that you're like, uh-oh, I kind of have to divert plans here a little bit?
Luckily, nothing huge yet. No huge issues. Oh, no. There was one time we were looking to film... Oh, I think it was a Destination Madison shoot. So this year, okay. this project has lasted over a year. So this was like probably our first or second shoot day. We were going to shoot at the Capitol. You know what? I got this story wrong. We'll start here. So it was for a different client. So I was flying for a client. We were going to film at the Capitol. And when we showed up, there is a protest going on. And I don't remember what the protest was for, but I just remember being like, oh, we're not going to be able to get this shot that we were thinking of. Whatever, we just ended up filming a pickup on another day. But yeah, that was probably the only instance.
And that's a good point, because the next point I was going to is obviously like it's also your job to kind of do your due diligence. All right, what events are happening? Can I get in the app and figure this out? But protests really don't, they're not like, sometimes they do bigger things, yeah. But like small things, like they're really not putting that on the calendar that the FAA is going to be like, all right, we got to lock down this space for everybody.
Yeah, there's this, this was actually for, we were filming... This is actually like the second or third day of our Destination Madison shoot. And again, this has been 12 days of shooting. There was a woman protesting topless right on the main corridor of the Capitol leading to State Street. So it was very obvious when we were filming, you'd be like, oh, that person's shirtless. She eventually moved on, but it was an interesting thing to show up on set with the client, be like, oh, okay, I think we gotta wait. Like, nobody wanted to talk to her and be like, hey, like, we're filming something. But it ended up resolving.
Yeah, like, no offense to you, but like, what we're doing and what you're doing are two very different things, but like, we kind of got to get in here a little bit and do our jobs. Going backwards a little bit, how important is it, in your opinion, you know, because your Instagram really did kind of lead you to grow into so many other opportunities. How important is it to create that brand early on? And what are some pieces of advice you would give to maybe young kids in, you know, high school, college that are looking to do something similar?
Yeah, the biggest thing I always say is nobody's going to know you're doing something unless you're posting about it, which is unfortunate because like so many people do cool work, but for some reason the algorithm doesn't make it go viral. Like, that sucks. It's an unfortunate, you know, outcome of the environment we're in right now. But I would say, like, yeah, again, nobody's going to know what you're doing unless you're posting about it, unless you're sharing about it, unless you're vocal about it. And so putting in the effort on social media is going to pay off huge in the long term. Nowadays in my career, like, I hate having to cut this beautiful video I made into a 9x16 reel or TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, I loathe the idea that I am going to have to do that at the end of the project. And so a lot of times, like, I might get lazy with it, but I would say if you're starting out, you want to get seen, you want more eyes on your work, definitely figure out how to market yourself on social media. And that can be, depending on your work, that can be anything, right? Finding some novel way to showcase your work is going to be so helpful for you. For me, it was drones. Drones were pretty new when I started in 2015. So posting drone work of Madison and Milwaukee really got people's attention. Nowadays, everyone has a drone, so that's not exciting. So it's figuring out how to put your own unique spin on your content to make it pop. To make it stand out.
And that's a beautiful point because, yes, now everybody has a drone, but you've done what everybody else is doing 5 years ago. So now you're able to say, all right, now let's get silly with it. A lot of that seems to have taken you into travel work. What led you into kind of the itch to kind of do a lot of the, you know, you've worked with a lot of local Discover places and travel guides, if you will, but you do a lot of work traveling outside of just the Midwest. So what kind of led you into the traveling world?
Yeah. I mean, travel has always been something I've just enjoyed. Like, that's one of the things I love to do. It's to explore new places, explore new things, meet new people. And something my parents always, you know, made us do when we were children, we would go and travel to new countries. My parents are from Taiwan. So I'm a second generation American. And so we would go back to Taiwan and visit family. And that was always something that interested me. And I think it's always been about familiarizing myself with, yeah, a different culture, a different country, and like learning. I think that's always been something like, wow, these places are so different from home. And so it's been really cool being able to blend that with my work in the video production world, because I've been able to kind of showcase these places in what I want to consider an authentic way by learning about this place. So I've been able to do stuff for Pure Michigan, Visit San Antonio, Destination Madison, Visit Milwaukee, and hopefully able to do some international stuff later this year. But it's been really fun because it's been able to, I feel like it leans into, you know, what I love to do for fun. And I think I really am able to shine at it because I want to appreciate, you know, what I'm filming and where I'm going.
I think you definitely have a good sense of bringing forth what it's really like, you know, especially because I'm sure, you know, if you go to a city, it's like, oh, you know, we want to showcase this and this, but you're like, but what about like, what are the people down the street doing? I think like you do a really good job of kind of showing that with still kind of bringing the whole vision of the area together. So I know that you're traveling to Banff, I believe tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Is that for work or personal?
That's just for personal. All right. That's just
so
for fun.
With that, on a professional level, what's both your favorite place that you've been to, and then what is that bucket list place that you want to be to?
Oh, I would say internationally, the favorite place I've visited is probably going to be Iceland. I think that was just for fun. That was when I was really starting out as a cinematographer. I just brought a camera along and went with, you know, a few other friends that were also into photo and video. But it was so cool because we were there during 24 hours of light. And so
okay.
Sunset was at like 10 p.m. Sunrise was at 3 a.m.
If I could live that life every day. You know, now we're getting on the, you know, the more daylight per day side. But man, that December is brutal.
Yeah, very different from Wisconsin winters. Yeah. It was super nice because no tourists were up at 10. No tourists were up at 3. So we'd have these like amazing, iconic landscapes just to ourselves. But within the U.S., I think there's like so many gems. Utah is always a favorite. Mm. I think the national parks are amazing. Washington, I love being able to go backpacking and I have family out there. But yeah, there's so many great places. And if I want to say like places I want to go, I think still a lot of Europe. I'd love to go to like Norway. I think South America, I haven't really explored that much. And Africa has always been on that list too, just to visit. A lot of people say really great things about Kenya, Tanzania. Would love to, you know, just explore so much.
Do you see yourself checking off every continent as you get through your years?
I don't think that matters to me as much. Hopefully, that would be amazing. Antarctica sounds like it's going to be hard.
That would be a tough one.
Yeah. My girlfriend, she's an engineer, and she's able to go to Antarctica.
And maybe that's your ticket.
And work, so I'm like, maybe I can sneak in.
They have heated little bunkers. They might be all right for you. so I almost got into it before, but I want to kind of bring it up here. You discovered, or you mentioned the Visit Milwaukee piece that you had done. That was featured on Times Square. So yes. Tell me about how that all kind of came together.
Honestly, it was pretty sweet to see a piece of my work in Times Square. It kind of went about, we had filmed two videos for them. We had filmed one video showcasing various neighborhoods of Milwaukee. And then we had filmed another one that showcased just the lakefront and the river as well. And so they had mentioned that they were putting together like a little 15 or 30 second little ad to put up on Times Square, and they're doing it for a week. And I actually had a person that helped out on that project. He was visiting New York at the time, so he went to Times Square to go take a picture of it. The billboard was broken,
oh, no.
So it wasn't displaying. but we were able to get some other pictures from other people.
They paid for the spot anyway, yeah. So.
But no, that was really cool. A lot less exciting than you might think, because they were just like, yeah, we chopped up your video with some other video and put it on Times Square.
So you didn't even work on the post for that piece?
No, I didn't. Okay. So... Yeah, as much as I love to say that, I was able to put something on Times Square. It's not exactly something I go bragging about because I didn't really do much.
Still something definitely to be proud of. What led you, from my understanding, to kind of getting into that space was some spec work that you had done, maybe as an influencer, but still, you know, for your own self. How important is spec work, in your opinion, to kind of being able to create yourself a lane and an opportunity in your career?
I think, and we talked about things I would tell like a younger generation. Social media is one of those things I always say. Like, again, you got to be posting on social media. But the other one, equally important, is spec work. There's a reason they're called passion projects. You got to be able to showcase what you're passionate about and film it in a way that you enjoy doing it. You got to show your personal taste, your flavor, your unique perspective on the world, no matter what it be, whether it be for, you know, a spec ad for Nike or what I was doing, where I was doing more locations. Otherwise, nobody's going to know, like, what your kind of, who you are as a creative. Like, you can create a lot of client work, but I guarantee you, because I'm still not at that point, 90% of that is not going to be something that is 100% you. And that's what a passion project can be. It can be 100% you. You can showcase your vision, your talent, your whatever. And without doing that, I think you're just going to be stuck doing kind of like the same old kind of, maybe it's corporate work or maybe it's weddings, whatever it might be. I feel like you can get stuck in your little silo or whatever kind of work that you're focusing on. And so passion projects, I think, are so good because they give you that creative freedom. I think they are great for collaboration. Like, I made so many connections through my spec work. And then, yeah, you never know where it can lead further down the road. I would say a lot of my work that I have nowadays is, yes, because I have a social media following. But I would say it's also just as much from the spec work that I made along the way.
And what are some things that you would say to people? I think, like, it's so easy to have a grandiose idea, but how do you really boil it down to, all right, we have a script or we have a shot list, a mood board? What are some ways that you can take this idea and bottle into something that, even at some space that you might be in with very limited resources, whether it's financially, equipment-wise, how do you bring that all together to make something that is 100% you at the end of the day? Because even if you do a spec work, you want it to still be representative of the work that you're actually capable of.
Yeah, and I that's so true. Like, you don't want to go into a passion project where you're spending $5,000-$10,000 of your own money. I think that's going to be that what your idea is going to be different for everybody, depending on your skills, depending on what you have in front of you, depending on the friends that you have that you can ask favors from. I think that's what I definitely look for when I was making mine. So I made mine location-based. I made them as spec travel and tourism pieces because I knew, one, we wouldn't need to pay like for a location, we wouldn't need to rent a house or a studio or whatever because we can film in the actual city. And two, I can ask favors of people that I just know to do things for camera or to use my social media platform to kind of get suggestions from people or volunteers from people who are willing to, you know, do something cool on camera. And so with the first one, the first big passion project that I made was the Madison Best City Ever video. That was all favors. I was like reaching out to, I reached out to an artist that I was friends with, Triangulador. I was like, hey, can you paint something for the video? I reached out to people that I kind of knew tangentially who worked at a dance studio. And I was like, can you dance for the video? And so I was just asking favors from others to appear on the video. So just playing to your strengths, playing to what's available in front of you is so important in making sure that you're not dropping a ton of investment into this.
How is the scene in Madison really coming together in terms of like filmmaking art? Because I think like right now in Milwaukee, there's kind of a renaissance of like people our age are kind of like, okay, but like, let's stay here. I'm sure, you know, Madison might have some of that too, where it's like, it's very easy to, you know, I'm going to go and then I'm going to go to LA or I'm going to, you know, do whatever. Do you see that happening in Madison or is it a lot more? Because it is as much as Milwaukee is a small, big city, then there's also Madison being, you know, the capital city of a small, big city.
Yeah, maybe this is one thing we don't share, but yeah, I don't see that in Madison.
Yeah.
I think people are leaving.
In a good way. Or maybe not. If you're saying
I think,
leaving, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think I think personally the atmosphere in Madison is leave. Like, let's leave.
Okay.
Because it's just a little too small. And that's like a sentiment, like, that I'm starting to feel. It's like, I would like to move to a larger market as well. So I'm probably like looking at trying Chicago for a few months, in the summer, just to try to feel what a bigger market is. Maybe if that doesn't work, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, other places too. But yeah, I would say Madison, the community there is slim, I feel.
So we have a lot of conversations about how Milwaukee, you know, we feel probably that same way about Milwaukee, even though, you know, it is the small big city. What are some things in your mind that either might need to happen or can happen within the community, or, you know, well, Madison's the capital city, the politics of the area, to kind of flourish some of that, whether it's talent to stay in the filmmaking world or just kind of sparking some of that creative mind to stay within the grounds of Madison? Or is it just a location thing? Like, it just isn't.
Honestly, like, having Madison and Milwaukee be so close to each other, I think is a little detrimental to that. Like, I think Milwaukee is probably going to win most larger projects because the infrastructure is there. So I think having more infrastructure in Madison would probably be the best thing. Like, I would say, like, sometimes it's on the actual businesses or organizations themselves. It's like, stop hiring out of state, hire locally, try to think outside of the box when it comes to your own projects. Just like, that's, I think, what I see. It's like, we need to Yeah, I don't know if I want any of this on there, but like
you don't have to go into it because I mean, yeah. I was, as you were talking about that, I'm thinking in my head, like, we feel the same way about Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that, like, you know, you're our east west, we're kind of like an hour north south of Chicago. So it's like, we're like, oh shoot, like all of our stuff's going to Chicago. That whereas your head is like, oh shoot, all that stuff's going to Milwaukee. Yeah. So you don't have to go into it too much, but it is a very interesting point. And I don't know what that answer is. And, you know, that's part of why we're doing this podcast, to kind of see like what's going on and how can we
I talk to people like Cody and Spencer, and they're like, Milwaukee, like, exactly. I mean, that's like cool. I'm like, sweet, that's awesome, you guys are so talented. But then also you had like the people, I've never met them personally, but the people that they both work with, Kyle Kadow and Steve
Cleveland,
like they left. So it's like it sucks because you do see a lot of really talented people leave, and it's just because there's not enough work to share. There's like, and you're right, you guys are only an hour from Chicago, so it definitely probably feels like that with you.
It definitely does. I want to talk about your entrepreneurial journey, because, you know, it's one thing to see the social media platform, but you are a solopreneur, if I recall correctly. And, you know, you run your own business and you do your own projects. And, you know, I feel like that's maybe the direction you're kind of going into. So talk to me about kind of, when was it that you're like, maybe I do this? What was that process like? You know, we both took the jump, Justin and myself. So like, we understand all of those points. So like, what was it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I worked, so we can back up a little bit. Like, when I was graduating college, by my senior year, like, I was at a point where I was like, oh, I could maybe make a living out of this. But I was making, you know, I was in college and doing it, so I was making like $30,000 a year. I was like, okay, that's not something I'm going to be able to survive off of. So after college, I worked a regular job at a software company just as a project manager. And then in October of 2019, I was able to quit and do full-time video production. That was my goal. Obviously, with the pandemic, that threw a little wrench into things. But like, yeah, so we look now and I'm astonished of how far I've been able to go. I think it's kind of, it was never my dream to say, oh, I'm going to like run a business instead of, you know, being like, oh, I just want to make movies or whatever.
Right.
Like it's interesting to be like, yeah, that is like what I'm doing now. It's like, I'm running a video production company. And I think for me, I realize how important the business side of video production is in tandem with the creative. And so that's kind of led me to where I am today, running my own business. And I think like, I really enjoy being able to kind of come in on the ground floor and help shape an idea or create an idea and then see it through to the end. I think that's been a real benefit of having my own company. And also just like, I have so much freedom that comes along with it as well. And so as much as I like to say, like, I wish that I was just able to show up on set and shoot a really cool video and then pack up and go home, that's probably not going to be the reality for me all the time. It's because I love the whole process of it.
I think that's important too. And I'd love to hear your take, because we struggle with this sometimes as well. You know, we do our spec work and we're like, yes, like big ideas, big things can happen. And then the client comes in and like, but we want it within this box. So how do you, I think your work does a really good job kind of blending your creativity personally based on the work I've seen of yours and what I'm assuming is the client's end goal. So how do you kind of bridge that gap and kind of create those conversations?
I think a lot of it, yeah, it's that dynamic has shifted over the course of the past few years. You know, in the beginning, it was definitely like client or agency would be like, we have this idea, film it. No changes, just film it. Like, make it happen. We're like, yes, sir. Like, you know, but now like the dynamic has shifted slightly in where, like, because of the work that I've put out, clients are now coming to me as, we want you to be an equal partner on this creative. With Destination Madison, that was very much the case. They're like, we want a video made, but we want you to make it. Like, because you live in Madison, you've made all this Madison content, you understand the city, we want you to come on and be the video production company. And so I think that's been a huge shift in how I've been able to communicate with clients. It's like, I have honestly a little more power now, because they're seeking out my work. And Yeah, I think like that wasn't always the case. I would make a, you know, I would make this sick piece of work that I thought was really cool and I was really proud of. And then the client would be like, that's not at all what we're looking for. And that still happens. That's always going to be a thing that happens. I think it's just hopefully that, you know, ratio shifts a little more in your favor over the years.
And talk to me about some of the recent projects you've been on, Bubbler, some others. You know, you're going from kind of all hats being worn to kind of more of a specific role. We're both kind of experiencing very similar things. So like, talk to me about that shift of like, I'm doing everything and now I'm kind of doing just one role very specifically.
Yeah. So with the projects I've been getting, yeah, we talk about the projects I've been working on recently. Destination Madison, Bubbler are the two, two big ones I would say so far this year. It's been really weird having to relinquish control of certain aspects of a production. Coming from a space where I used to just be the only one sometimes, I'd be the director, the DP, the gaffer, the editor, the colorist. Like, it's so weird to give some of those roles to other people. I think I've very much learned that you can never be the master of everything. And that there's always going to be someone better at you at a particular thing. And so being able to rely on people, being able to trust people in that way is going to be so much more beneficial for you in the long term than being like a control freak and having to make sure that you're in control of every part of the process. And so, yeah, this 2023 was a huge learning year for me, learning how to not be the person manning the camera all the time and being the director. Or working with the director and me being the DP and learning how to communicate effectively with that director and communicate with the gaffer on set. And then even like I'm starting to get more into the space where I'm looking for an editor and I'm working with colorists, and it's like, it's so weird giving up individual parts of that, but knowing that your end product can be so much better because of that is something that I keep as a constant reminder in my head.
I saw a picture of you from way back with DaVinci in the background. So I got to just, we switched to DaVinci maybe a year and a half ago at this point. And like, all of a sudden I'm like, that's why all of his stuff is colored so well, because he freaking has DaVinci right now. Like, he gets it. Like, all them nodes are in there. Like, it's incredible. I mean, I can only imagine what it was like when you were using it back then, cause it's come so far. But definitely, I just want to shout that out because I was like, oh my gosh, an OG DaVinci user. Like, how cool is that?
I actually only colored in DaVinci for like 3 years. And then I made the full shift. Probably.
What was your other software?
Premiere.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd edit in Premiere and export out. Yeah.
Was it during the XML? Were you able to XML at that time? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, cause I know that like when we started using, we're like, gosh, we're throwing letters away. And then we like just found out the XML and we're like, well, we're using DaVinci at this point anyway. So whoops.
That process was so annoying. I was like, I'm just gonna make the switch.
Yeah. How important is it to find good collaborators? Like you said, you know, finding those people that are better than you at specific roles, and where do you go about finding the right people for those positions?
It is so important to have those people that you can collaborate with and trust and be able to, you know, bring them in on a project. It's so, so unbelievably important. Like, I think a lot of younger people, you'll see, they'll come in with an ego or a mindset that like they're better than everyone or that they can do everything, you know, just as good as everybody else. And it's just so not true. Like I look at my old work that I was like, oh, I killed it. I crushed it. And it's like awful because I like forgot about audio or I forgot about lighting. And it's like, there are so many different aspects that you can't control. How you go about finding those people, it's about just networking. Like, the amount of times I've connected with people because they sent me an email or I sent them an email or they messaged me on Instagram or the other way around. Like, you can find them all sorts of ways just by networking with people. Or if you're on a project, just being like, you know, saying hello, introducing yourself, telling them what you do. And then maybe down the road, you can hire them for a project. There's so many ways you can go about meeting those people, but yeah, it's so important to be able to find those people that you can collaborate and trust.
I love that. What are you looking forward to in the future of Sam? What's on the horizon? What are some things that you're looking to accomplish with yourself? And, you know, are there any big projects any new destinations we can be looking to travel towards?
In 2024, the future you know, every year I set a goal for myself. Last year was like, how much work can I get? Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm going to say yes to everything and just see how much I can get. And I was blown away. I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm getting so much. I'm getting to the point where I can start to say no. So this year, I think it's focusing on quality over quantity. I think yes, last year was very much me just trying to absorb as much as I could. And this year it's like, okay, how can we make these specific projects really good, really shine? And that's something I want to focus on. I think collaboration is something I want to focus on even more. Working with people in Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis is going to be so important for me moving forward. I have some large projects potentially. I don't want to jinx anything by saying anything yet, but hopefully some big things down the road. This year, I think a big thing for me is going to be taking that next step in my life and figuring out where I want to land for a few years and try to grow my business. And I think Chicago is definitely on the top of that list. So this summer, I may go and spend the summer there and just try to network and familiarize myself with the city and other creatives there.
One thing I always like to ask guests, just out of my own pure curiosity, if you could have 3 filmmaking related items for $100 or less each, so that I always just like, you know, people are always like, you buy a bunch of accessories on Amazon and then they collect dust. So what are the 3 that stuck around for you?
Oh my gosh.
The budget's loose, but like, what are those 3 like, you know, key pieces to your kit?
Probably gaff tape.
Yes.
Oh gosh. I'm trying to think of what is this like so useful.
It's funny because my answer probably changes every couple months. Like I get that. You don't have to give all 3 answers. I just like, because everybody finds different uses and I always like picking people's brains and like, oh, like maybe I'm just not using something in a specific way that ends up helping us, you know, or helping you on a set down the road. You're like, oh
no,
yeah,
I like this. There's so many things you can just buy. I remember like I was filming a project and I just put my camera on the ground to get like a shot on the ground. And this guy was just like, do you want a cine saddle or something like that? I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a sandbag that's meant to like hold a camera.
That's
a specific,
news to me. So.
So you don't have to set your camera on the ground. I was like, wow, that's bougie. I'm like,
I didn't think it was doing that much damage.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, that's cool. So there's like so many little things you look at that. You're like, oh, I've been doing things completely wrong. Like I'll just get, I say gaff tape because I like, I'll just tape random things to random surfaces. And people are like, you know, there's a better way to do that. I'm like, well.
But here's how I'm doing it.
I'm not a grit, so.
Oh man, that's too funny. So where can people find your work and kind of give yourself some shout outs? What are your platforms that you like to live on?
Yeah, if you wanna get familiar with more of my work, you can follow me on Instagram at Samuel Lee, L-I, not L-E-E. And then on Twitter, the Sam Lee. You can find me on TikTok if you want to. I don't post anything interesting on there. But yeah, Instagram is probably the best spot to hit me up.
Awesome. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you so much.
And we always do a little outro. If there's anywhere that you're watching this or listening to this, please hit like, comment, subscribe, whatever the button is for that platform. We would greatly appreciate that. And in the comments, let us know what you think of Sam's work. And maybe there's something else that you want to see on the show. So let us know about that as well. Until next time.